Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. And that's what's really needed for today. Because there are so many counterfeits, there are so many things done in the name of Jesus and in the name of Christianity and in the name of values and principles that people are completely dismayed. And in the public arena, look at what happens if anyone tries to bring up anything about God and the Bible. Well, God and the Bible, you're going to find, are the two most important things you need to understand. And you're not going to please God, you're not going to worship God, you are not going to understand God unless you follow His Word in the Bible. Now, what is the Bible? Now, men have tried to pollute it and change it and everything like that, but they haven't been able to destroy it, and it is still the bestseller of any book in the world. But what is the Bible? Now, I'll give you a very simple definition, which is this. It is a written message from God about God, about His plan, why you are here, your purpose in life, and what has happened in the world, and why there is good and evil. Now, I can make it even shorter. It is God's personal message to you from Him. Now, if you have a Bible in your house and you haven't opened it up, whose fault is that? Is that God's fault? And if you never read it or try to understand it, why then do you complain that you don't know what it means? Why would God send a message to people written? Can't get away from it. There it is. If it were not understandable, but what is the key to understanding the Bible? You need to know. Is it because you give a lot of money to a church? No. Is it because you learn Hebrew and Greek and you go to seminary and learn lots of things? No. What is the key to understanding the Bible? Because there are things written in here that you need to understand first so you don't repeat it. Well, Psalm 111 and verse 10 says, "A good understanding have all of they that do His commandments." Do you keep the commandments of God? All of them? And it also says in Isaiah 66, but God says He will look to this individual who trembles at His word. And the New Testament shows those that love Him with all their heart and mind and soul and being. And if you love God, will you not want to obey Him? A lot of people today say they love God, they love Jesus, but they don't obey Him. Do you? Well, what has happened in this world that everything that is pagan has become called Christian? And you know, this is not the first time that this has happened, as we have been seeing going through this series that we're doing on occult holidays. It's recorded, as we have seen, that the children of Israel and the children of Judah have done these things repeatedly over and over and over again because they're not willing to do what God says. Are you? Are you willing to keep the commandments of God? Let's try them out very quickly here. God says, "You shall have no other gods before me." Do you worship the true God and the true Savior, Jesus Christ? Second commandment is, "You shall not make to yourself any graven image of anything. It's in heaven above, on the earth beneath, or in the waters under the earth. You're not to bow down and worship them." Do you have idols in your home? Do you have statues of Mary or Joseph or Jesus or crucifix or pictures of Jesus? Are you willing to take those down and get rid of those? Or do you think it's all right to transgress the second commandment? And if you transgress the first and second commandment, then you're transgressing all of them, very simply because it says if you transgress one, you've transgressed the whole law. So therefore, the third one, do not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And of course, that one is broken every Sunday in church, because they say, this is the day the Lord has made, not for his Sabbath. And then that means that you break the fourth commandment because you forget the Sabbath, you don't remember the Sabbath, and you don't know anything about his holy days. And then how about honoring father and mother? How about you shall not murder? How about you shall not commit adultery? How about you shall not steal? How about you shall not bear false witness? How about you shall not covet? Now, those are the Ten Commandments very briefly and quickly. Question, do you love them? Do you keep them? And do you truly love God with all your heart and mind and soul and being? Well, no, people like to come to God like Cain did and do his own thing and say, God, you got to accept this. After all, I'm doing this to honor you. Can you worship the God of truth with lies? Can you honor God with pagan practices that God says he hates? Well, the people of Judah during the days of Jeremiah, just before they were carried off into captivity into Babylon for 70 years because of their sins, they were worshiping the Queen of Heaven. She was called Isis in Egypt, but in Babylon, she's called Ishtar. Do you celebrate Easter? And what does a pagan goddess have to do with the resurrection of Jesus? Or Easter bunnies and Easter eggs? Let's see what God says here. Now, when I'm reading this, I want you to think about your life. I want you to think about what you approve. I want you to think about your neighborhood, your city, your community, your state, your nation. And evaluate, say on a scale of 1 to 10, how they rate on what I'm going to read you here. Verse 8, behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. 0 means you believe in the truth. 10 means you're living by all kinds of lies, and the scale in between. So he asked the question, will you steal and murder and commit adultery and swear falsely and burn incense to Baal and walk after other gods whom you have not known? Then come and stand before me in this house which is called by my name and say, we are delivered to do all of these abominations. God understands it. The priest has blessed it. The Pope has given us permission. Our evangelist said it's a good thing to do. And our pastor has said, well, the church changed the day from Sabbath to Sunday, but you can't find it in the Bible. By what authority would they say these things? Notice, has this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, says the Lord. Now let's come back here to 2 Kings 21. Oh, I know this is in the Old Testament, but these things are here for us to learn. And the biggest error in Christianity today, they have said that the Old Testament is for the Jews. Not true. Paul says, these were written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the earth have come. And here are lessons that we are to learn. Now, are we willing to learn the lessons? Are we willing to repent and change our ways? What is it that you're willing to do? Oh, you want all of God's blessings, and oh, yes, we want everything to go well. But unless you honor God and worship and serve him and believe him and keep his commandments, it's not going to happen. Through lying and cheating and stealing and false economics, for a time, you can make it look like you're prosperous, but you're not. through false worship of God, through pagan days and pagan things that they do, you can make it look like you're doing things to God, but you're not. Let's come back here to 2 Kings 21. Let's continue on with Manasseh. Let's see what else he did. In addition to setting up all the idols right in the temple area of God. Verse 6, 2 Kings 21. And he made his sons to pass through the fire, walking on hot coals. Isn't that wonderful? People have done that, and even Oprah Winfrey. My. She is some kind of religious teacher, New Age witchcraft, and she walked on hot coals. What do you know about that? Hooray for Oprah for showing what she really worships. God says that's an abomination. And observe times and use witchcraft. Do you know there are more witches than there are real true Christians in the United States? Oh, well, they're good witches. We do good things. How can you use something evil to make good things happen? How does that work? It doesn't. And he dealt with familiar spirits and wizards, getting in contact with the demons and Satan, the devil. And the biggest purveyor of this today for our children is Walt Disney Productions and Harry Potter. Look at some of the movies there. Survey them for truth. Have the commandments of God at hand. Have some of the scriptures that I have read at hand. And then you evaluate and judge the television you allow to come into your home for yourself and your children. And he worked much wickedness in the sight of the Lord to provoke the Lord to anger. He set a graven image in the grove which he made in the house which the Lord had said to David and to Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever. Yes, and then he sent prophets to warn him, to turn him from his way. Question. When you hear some of these things, what is it that you think? Do you really want to know about God, or does it anger you? You think that I'm an angry man and just constantly attacking things? Well, I'm not, but God says you got to warn the people. God says to cry aloud and spare not. God says repent of these evils and turn to him. So what are you going to do? Should I preach nice, smooth things to try and make you happy, to try and please you? Let me tell you something. Anyone who speaks in the name of the Lord, if he doesn't please God, and if he doesn't speak his words, there's no light in him. Do we live in an evil society or not? Yes, we do. Do we live in a society that has turned its back on God? Yes, we do. Do we live in a country that was blessed by God because of the promises that he gave to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Yes, we do. Have we turned everything upside down and polluted the land and polluted our lives and sinned against God? Yes, we have. Now, God said that he would not take his name away from Israel, as we find here in verse 8, only if they will observe to do according to all that I have commanded them and according to all the law that my servant Moses commanded them. And remember, it is a perfect law. Now, it might go against your evil nature because you want to do the things which transgress. That doesn't change the law from being perfect. So notice what is here, and I want you to think about it with this nation, because we are on the verge of God's judgment that is identical to what we are going to see here. And it starts right in the pulpit. Lies from the pulpit. Sunday worship. Occult holiday worship. That's why you need the book, Occult Holidays or God's Holy Days Which. And it is a book that is well documented, and it is the truth. And when you're confronted with the truth, you're given some choices of what you're going to do. Are you going to choose God's way or your way? Are you going to think that this is an imposition and hateful sayings against the church where you grew up and your mom and dad went to? Well, could they have been deceived? Could you have been deceived? Let's see what God says, continuing right here in verse 9. But they did not hearken, and Manasseh seduced them to do more evil than the nations ever did whom the Lord destroyed before the children of Israel. And the Lord spoke by his servants a prophet, saying, because Manasseh king of Judah has done these abominations, doing more wickedly than all that the Amorites did who were before him, and has made Judah also to sin with his idols. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of Israel, behold, I am bringing evil upon Jerusalem and Judah, so that whoever hears of it, both his ears shall tingle. And I will stretch out over Jerusalem the line of Samaria and measuring line of the house of Ahab, and I will wipe Jerusalem as a dish is wiped, wiping it and turning it upside down. Did God do that in 586 B.C.? Yes, he did. Did he do it in 70 A.D. after Christ was here and he preached to them and they did not repent? Can you learn from history? Let's read now the Feast of God. You may not have heard of some of these, but these are the true feast of God, Old Testament and New Testament. Now, first of all, we'll start out with the Passover. But let's come to Leviticus 23. And I want you to think about these words. And don't say in your mind, oh, that's in the Old Testament. Or, oh, those are just ritual days that have nothing to do with us today. Really? They have everything to do with us today. They have everything to do with Jesus Christ. They have everything to do with salvation. Because you see, there's the application of them for the children of Israel and the children of Judah in keeping the laws and commandments in the letter of the law in the temple at Jerusalem. And there's an application of those far greater for us spiritually who have the Holy Spirit of God today, and we are privileged to worship God directly through our prayers in heaven above. And all of these days have meaning. That's why you need the book, Occult Holidays or God's Holy Days, so you can understand. See, because if you take the position that, you know, this is Old Testament, or I don't need to listen to this, or he offended me, or I don't like how he looks. Well, they said that of Paul, they said that of Christ, they said that of all the prophets of God. But you still, before God, are held accountable for what you do and what you choose, right or wrong, good or evil. And remember this. All of us are going to have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of our lives. And what are you going to say to God? What is God going to say to you? Is he going to say to you, well done, good and faithful servant? Enter into the joy of your Lord? Or is he going to say to you, depart from me, you workers of iniquity and lawlessness? What is God going to say of you? Because, since you are alive, you will never be able to escape that day. And nothing that you can do unless you repent and are baptized and receive the Holy Spirit of God, nothing that you can do will change that day and the condemnation that will come if you do not love God and keep His commandments. Now let's come to Leviticus 23. Now why did God give all the listing of all of His holy days here in Leviticus 23? Because these were the days God commanded the children of Israel, and these are the days, as we will see in the New Testament, that Jesus kept and the apostles kept and the New Testament church kept. All right? Sidebar. It is an absolute mistake to say, well, it says this in the Old Testament, but it doesn't say it in the New Testament. That's folly, because if it says it in the Old Testament, God means it. Because there's an application for the Old Testament and for the New Testament. Now notice that these are not the laws of Moses as the Jews like to claim. And as the Jews also like to claim that these are only for the Jews. That is not correct. Verse 1, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, all 12 tribes, not just the Jews, and say to them concerning the appointed feast of the Lord. Stop right there. What does it mean, appointed feast of the Lord? Well, it means appointed feast of the Lord. Who owns them? The Jews? No. Other people? No, God. He created them, Genesis 1:14. He set the appointed seasons for the feasts. He gave them for a reason. Remember this, there is nothing that God has done that is in vain. And God has a purpose for everything. Concerning the appointed feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my appointed feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest, a holy convocation. You shall not do any work. It is a Sabbath to the Lord in all your dwellings. So it starts out with the fourth commandment, the Sabbath commandment, and as we will see, that fourth commandment sanctifies all the rest of the holy days, which are also called Sabbaths. Now notice what he says here. These are the appointed feast of the Lord, holy convocations, which you shall proclaim in their appointed seasons. There's meaning and understanding to that. In the 14th day of the first month between the two evenings is the Lord's Passover. Now we will continue with the Passover because this becomes very important. We'll talk a little bit about the Old Testament Passover, but I want you to go onto the website, cbcg.org, where we have sermons covering the instructions concerning the Old Testament keeping of the Passover and the other holy days. And I want you also to see the application of it for the New Testament, because we're going to see some very important things concerning the Passover. And we're going to understand why that is the key fundamental day which absolutely must be kept in the way that God has said, Jesus has instructed, and the way we find that it was observed in the New Testament. Because there is great and deep and profound meaning within the keeping of the Passover day. just give you one hint. That was the day that Jesus was crucified, 30 A.D., Passover, 14th day of the first month according to the sacred calculated Hebrew calendar. Now, I want to tell you about the books that we have. You need these books. Now, I challenge you. See, we have people who contribute, and they freely receive, so they freely give. So we're able to send these out at no cost. You need this book the day Jesus the Christ died, because this will tell you more about the Passover day than any other book. And it will be absolutely astonishing, the meaning of the Passover day and the central thing of the crucifixion and death of Jesus Christ. Then you need also the book, Occult Holidays or God's Holy Days, which, vital to understand. Once you read this, this will give you the keys to open your eyes to understand what is right before God and why the world has been so terribly deceived. You need these books so you can understand the truth and come out from underneath all the lies that have been perpetrated from the pulpit and all the things that you have believed in your lifetime that are Christian, that you have believed that are right and good, but God says they're not. So once again, this is Fred Coulter saying, thank you for inviting me into your home, and be sure and visit our other website, cbcg.org, where we have hundreds of full-length sermons and videos, which will give you verse by verse, word by word, understanding of the Holy Scriptures. It provides the best scriptural education through the whole Bible of any website in the world. And we also have hundreds of audio sermons, where you can listen in detail. We have series on love, series on faith, series on answered prayer, series on prophecy, what's happening in the world today, and all of these things combined. So thank you for inviting me into your home. So until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.